You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Well, for our first live day back after the Christmas break, we thought it'd be a good idea here on Issues Etc. to spend some time looking at what may lie ahead in 2014 with regard to federal pro-life legislation. Joining us to do that on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 7th, Susan Musket. She's a senior legislative counsel for National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. Susan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. I'm happy to be here.
Before we get to the issues of 2014 legislation, can you explain to our listeners what exactly Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor did over the Christmas break with respect to the HHS mandate?
Well, she gave a temporary stay of the mandate from being applied to the Little Sisters of the Poor, which is a Catholic order of nuns who object to complying with the mandate because it violates their religious principles to have to be complicit in providing procedures that they feel is violation of their religious views. And so now they have a temporary stay of complying with the mandate, and the Department of Justice opposes this. And so now we are waiting to see if the Supreme Court will make that injunction permanent for the Little Sisters, or what action the Supreme Court will take in that regard.
If they were to make the injunction permanent, what would that actually mean? Would it extend beyond the Sisters of the Poor?
It would just mean that they would not have to comply with the mandate while the case is being litigated in the courts. Because they have, you know, they either have to comply with the mandate and violate their own religious principles, or they are facing very, very steep, heavy fines. So it's very important that they be given this stay while the case is being litigated.
One of the big stories that came out in conjunction with that was kind of the White House's disapproval of this and continuing to push the line that they've been pushing on the HHS mandate. Some people look at this and just get discouraged. You know, they think we have a president and a Senate that do not seem interested in supporting any kind of any legislation that even whiffs of pro-life, and they might even ask you, I'd like your response. You know, why keep going? Why not just kind of pack it in for a while until the complexion of the legislature changes or the occupant of the White House changes?
Yeah, Todd, people have to remember that every time issues are debated at the national level, for instance, through national legislation, even if it does not get enacted into law this year, we are educating Americans about the reality of abortion. It took a dozen years from the time it was introduced for the partial birth abortion ban to become law and to be enforced. And during that time, many analysts have said that as a result of the debate over that bill, that many people changed their views on abortion. So it's very helpful to have these debates at the national level, and your listeners can help to educate people by writing letters to the editor when these bills come up for votes, telling the people about the bills and what they do and the realities of abortion, because we need to continue to change the hearts and minds of the American people on this issue.
So it's not just what gets passed. It is the process as well that informs people and changes, albeit incrementally, changes the way people vote.
Very much so. Your pro-life listeners are probably very well versed on the methods of abortion, the reality that abortion takes place all the way up until the time of birth. But you would be surprised how many of your relatives, how many of your close friends, how many of your coworkers really do not know the reality of the types of methods of abortion, how late it takes place in pregnancy. It's not through their fault. Partly it's because of the way that it's projected in the mainstream media. But we all can never stop talking enough in terms of educating others about the realities of abortion.
In that vein, what do you think is the biggest myth or misconception about abortion among the public?
I think one of the largest misconceptions is that people are always shocked that abortions take place very late in pregnancy. They just They do not. They're just shocked. They think it only takes place in the first 3 months of pregnancy. And, you know, the Kermit Gonsinel case and some of the other revelations about other abortionists that have come out recently have resulted in Americans, you know, becoming more aware that babies are being aborted very late in pregnancy at the point where they could be born alive and at the point where they experience great pain during an abortion.
With that said, what is the biggest thing ahead in terms of pro-life legislation for 2014?
Well, one important piece of legislation is the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which provides nationwide protection from abortion for unborn babies who are capable of feeling pain beginning at 20 weeks fetal age, or which is the beginning of the 6 months. So we know, you know, there's ample evidence that at least by 20 weeks after fertilization, all of the physical structures necessary to experience pain have developed, and these babies are capable of feeling pain. And so this bill would provide protection for these babies from abortion nationwide.
And would that, if it were able to kind of get some legs, what would the effect of it be?
Well, we know there are over 140 abortionists nationwide that would be affected by this bill who perform abortions at this stage of pregnancy. And the reporting on abortions, you know, is very sketchy. Many states that perform the most abortions don't even have reporting requirements. But we know that at least 18,000 abortions per year would be prohibited as a result of this bill.
What else is out there on the various legislative dockets?
Well, this coming Thursday, the House Judiciary's Constitution Subcommittee is going to be holding a hearing on the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act. This is legislation that Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey has introduced, H.R. 7, which would establish a permanent prohibition on federal subsidies for abortion and health insurance coverage of abortion in federal programs. You know, the Hyde Amendment prohibits direct funding of abortion and funding of health plans to cover abortion in the Medicaid program. And there are other, you know, patchwork of other restrictions on other bills. One restriction prohibits federal employee health benefit plans from covering abortion. We have another one that pertains to abortions in the military. But this bill would make this prohibition nationwide, and it would make it permanent. And again, the hearing on this is this coming Thursday at 10 a.m. in the House Judiciary Committee. And oftentimes, listeners can view those hearings in real time if they go to the website of the House Judiciary Committee.
So if passed, would it make the kind of the annual need to shepherd the Hyde Amendment through a thing of the past?
That is correct. Every year we have to make sure that the Hyde Amendment and these other restrictions on abortion are continued and not, you know, every year the other side, you know, is agitating. They don't like the Hyde Amendment, et cetera. Plus, this bill would prohibit the funding of abortion and health plans that cover abortion that is covered by the Obamacare legislation. You know, we try to get legislation in Obamacare to prohibit abortion coverage and to prohibit federal funds from going to plans that cover abortion under Obamacare, and we were not successful. So this legislation, the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act, would also apply to these programs that are covered through Obamacare.
What else is there?
Well, you know, we're going to continue to push to educate the American people on a lot of the ramifications of Obamacare. We also support legislation that Congresswoman Black has sponsored called the Health Care Conscience Rights Act, which would provide protections for healthcare workers from being forced to be complicit in the performance of abortion. We'll continue to push for that. We'll just keep pushing as best we can at the federal level to get this important legislation passed.
Coming back to something we talked about earlier, what do you think the Supreme Court will do about that injunction that Sotomayor has put in temporarily with regard to the Sisters of the Poor and the HHS mandate? How do you think the Supreme Court will handle that?
Well, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but I can tell you that the track record has been very good in terms of the religious nonprofits. There are some 45 nonprofit lawsuits, and so far the scorecard has been that they've been granted 19 injunctions, and only one injunction was denied, so that's 19-1. And then in terms of for-profit organizations, there's a scorecard of 33 injunctions against six. So far the scorecard has weighed heavily in favor of the pro-life side. So hopefully the Supreme Court will likewise take that view.
Finally, then, what can our listeners do in advance to help further along, even in a little way, federal pro-life legislation in 2014?
Well, one thing that would be very helpful, you know, the Paying Capable Unborn Child Protection Act was introduced in the Senate just this past November by Senator Lindsey Graham. Right now, it has 40 senators who have co-sponsored it. And it would be great if your listeners were to weigh in with their senators to make sure that they are a co-sponsor of S-1670, the Paying Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, so that when it is brought to the Senate floor, that it will have the strong support of most of the senators in the U.S. Senate.
Susan Muscat is a senior legislative counsel for National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to National Right to Life under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Susan, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. For a few minutes, we're going to ask and get your answer to the question, should churches cancel worship services during the kind of inclement weather we've been experiencing in the Midwest? I want your answer to that question right after this.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
The official end of Christmas was last Sunday, but because of the blizzard of 2014, Good Shepherd Lutheran in Collinsville, Illinois, will unofficially celebrate the close of the season this Sunday, January 12th. Join us at 4 p.m. as the musicians of Good Shepherd, along with a 17-member orchestra, present John Levitt's Christmas cantata, What Child Is This? For the church address and more information, please visit us online at goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guests, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Dr. Stephen Hine, Dr. Angus Manouge, and Craig Parton will be speaking at the summer study sessions of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 8th through the 19th in Strasbourg, France. For more information, visit apologeticsacademy.eu. The International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 8th through the 19th, apologeticsacademy.eu.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.